Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, that's in the Old Testament. Also, if you have your cell phone with you, if you will check into Facebook, let everybody know that you are worshiping our Lord and Savior this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Amen? You check in everywhere else. Check into church. Right? Two weeks ago, we listened as God instructed Joshua to enter the promised land. The Hebrew children, had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years as God got Egypt and the practices they had become accustomed to in Egypt out of the people. Now, it was time to take possession of the land God had promised his people. Again, way back in Genesis chapter 12. God told the people to lighten their loads, to take what they needed. God told them twice to be strong and courageous and to follow the commands of Moses. We learned that when God is leading us in any direction, we are to follow the same instructions. We are to be strong and courageous and follow the word of God and not our own desires. Today, we're going to remember something that God did thousands of years ago and he is still doing today. Excuse me. Allergies are killing me. I'm sorry. So this morning we're going to remember something that God did thousands of years ago and he is still doing today. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Excuse me. Chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Chapter 20. I'll get it here in a second. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah became terminally ill. What does it mean to be terminally ill? You're going to die. Look at me here for a second. We are all going to die. Unless Jesus comes to rapture this church, which is us, we are all going to die. Death should be the most natural things that Christians ever go through. It's something that I don't believe we celebrate enough. We see a whole lot of crying at the funeral homes. But you know, we as Christians, we ought to be celebrating. Especially if we're Christians and they've gone on home to be with the Lord. Amen? Scripture says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has given to those who love him. Amen? The things that God has prepared for those who love him. So we look this morning and we understand that Hezekiah is terminally ill. Listen to me, church. You are terminally ill. You've got something in you, and it's called sin, and it's making you terminally ill. Unless Jesus comes again, you are all, every single one of us, have a death sentence, just like Hezekiah this morning. Understand? So, in those days, Hezekiah became terminally ill. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Put your affairs in order, for you are about to die. You will not recover." Boy, those are encouraging words from a prophet, isn't it? Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, remember how I have walked before you faithfully and wholeheartedly, and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Isaiah had not gone out of the inner courtyard when the word of the Lord came to him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord God of the ancestor David says. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Look, I will heal you. Go up to the Lord's temple. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city and for my name's sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Bring a lump of fresh figs." So they brought it, and it applied to the affected skin, and he recovered. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, asking you to forgive us where we fail you, asking us to steel our hearts right now. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this scripture the way it needs to be understood. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Very honest with you, some of you have seen this scripture. As I was preparing a week or so ago or 2 weeks ago, Amy posted this very same scripture. And I looked at it and I was like, my heavens, this fits right along with the sermon series that I've been going through pretty much the whole summer. There are things that we have forgotten as Christians, is there not? There's certain things, basic elements within the Christian faith that we seem to have forgotten. We understand them and we've got head knowledge of them, but somehow it slips out of our head and out of our ear and we forget things that God has given us. One of the things that I don't think we totally understand the power of is the power of prayer. We do not understand the power of prayer. So this morning, I want us to just take a step back. This is a very simple, very short sermon. Donna, amen. I was waiting for Angie. Amen, praise God, hallelujah. But this morning, I want us to understand the power of prayer. Church, what happens when you pray? What happens when I pray? Can I tell you that I feel like most people who call themselves Christians don't pray enough? Myself included. People who call themselves Christians, we do not pray enough. I can tell you that I feel like we use prayers to seek God for what we think we need and what we think we want. Church, do you realize that effectual prayer, now listen to those two words, I want you to remember them. Effectual prayer is a prayer that is not for you, but is for the glory of God to be revealed. That's what effectual prayer is. That is a prayer that works. I'm going to be honest with you. There was a time in my life, in my prayer life, where I could not realize, I couldn't understand why my prayers weren't being answered. Can I get a, do anybody want to give a testimony? Well, the thing is, they weren't being answered the way I wanted them to be answered, and they weren't being answered in the time frame that I wanted them to be answered in. And sometimes God was saying, no. I couldn't understand why my prayers were ending up this way. Now, listen, this is what our prayers sound like. Okay, y'all with me? Y'all stay awake. This is what our prayer life sounds like. Lord God, I need. God, I want. I want you to understand something. Our needs and our wants do not give glory to God. They do not. As a matter of fact, listen to me. How much more do you need? When is a time coming when you no longer want? How much is enough? How much do we have to store up? How much do we have to lump up? How much do we have to gather up when we have enough and we say, Lord, look, listen, Lord, I want to come. What do you think God would, do you think it would just blow God's mind if you and your prayer just got down and said, God, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I'm coming right now just to thank you for your goodness. For how much you have given me and how much you love. God would say, who is that? Who is that down there? Every time you come to me, I hear, Lord, I come to you asking forgiveness of my sin. And this is what I need and this is what I want. That's your sin. Because you're constantly needing, constantly wanting. We are a needy society. Do you know what we want? What everybody else has got. Do you know what we need? What everybody else has got. Well, he's got so-and-so. He's got the iPhone 563. I want an iPhone. This, I want to tell you all a secret. This is top secret FBI information. I don't even want, Justin, I don't want the phone that I've got. People look at my, I'll hand my phone and say, hey, look at this picture of my granddaughter. She's beautiful, isn't she? And I'll show, they say, what's wrong with your phone? It's cracked. Why don't you get another one? I don't want another one. I don't want this one. I really don't. It goes off all the time. All the time it goes off. And look, we installed, let me just give you some other information. We installed a new button out here and up in front of the offices. And it's, you push the button or you walk by the door button and it activates. And I get a vibration on my phone. It doesn't matter what time it is. If you come up here at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get a vibration on my phone, and it says active something at the church. And if you sit down and you complain about the church not being unlocked at 9:36 in the morning, I'm going to hear that on my phone. It says, you know, the church isn't open at 9:36 in the morning. But look, you know, we want what we want, and we think we need everything that we've got. No, you don't. That's our prayer. We need to change that prayer. You don't listen to me. Let's all agree. We don't need anything else. We don't. And we shouldn't want anything else besides two tacos after dinner, right? After church. We don't need anything. We shouldn't want anything else. Here's our prayer as well. Lord, y'all listen to me. Lord, my life would be complete if I would be able to, and I would be able to serve you a whole lot more if only you would do this for me. God, if you, you know, I could serve you more if I made $2 more an hour. I could do more for you, God. I could serve you so much better. Well, let me ask you a question. Why aren't you serving him now? Why? What's wrong with you? I mean, you do everything else. You serve everybody else. You serve your job inside and out. Why aren't you serving God? Here's another one. I like this one. Lord, y'all heard me use this one before. This one's a good one. Lord, I lost my car keys. And if you'll help me find them, I'll do anything you ask me to do, Lord. You're bartering with God. That's your prayer life now. That's your prayer. God, kumbaya, I've lost my car keys. I'll do anything. And it could be anything. You've lost your child. Amy and I were downtown this past weekend. We'd walking around, and this woman was walking in front of us. This child was like 100 yards behind him, Ricky, and it was her child. We could have taken that child and just gone. She didn't know. She didn't know. God, please help me find my child. It could be anything. You barter with God, and if you'll do this, I'll do anything for you. Listen, he's God. Why don't you do anything for him now? Why wait? I like this one too. Lord, I know I'm probably not supposed to be doing this, but you said to come to you in prayer. You know that person is really bothering me. God, your word says we all gonna die. Won't you just go ahead and kill him? Kill him, Lord! And listen, and that's when y'all really get excited. I mean, y'all become Baptists or Pentecostals, and y'all go, kill him, Lord! I mean, come on. Y'all get excited about stuff like that. Get him. Scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Lord, take vengeance on him. And y'all are serious about that prayer. Church, I do not believe we understand the power of prayer as we should. I don't. I do not believe we understand the power of prayer. Now, do you know that there were certain things that used to be sold in hardware stores? I'm going to make this point that we don't understand the power of prayer. Y'all ready? Do you know there are certain things that used to be sold in hardware stores that aren't anymore? They're not. Listen to me. Do you know that one thing they used to sell in hardware stores, especially in small towns, was dynamite? I used to hear my uncles tell stories about how my grandfather would, on 4th of July, he'd go to the hardware store, and Brother Frank, he'd buy a couple sticks of dynamite, and they'd go out there in the field, and he'd dig up underneath the stumps, and he would put that dynamite, and that was one of their 4th of July thing. Has anybody else seen dynamite? Look, and they'd light that dude, and I mean, they would have a good time on the 4th of July. Now, do you know why they quit selling dynamite at the hardware stores? Huh? No. Road rage. Road rage. People like Angie Page. if they had dynamite, Gary, if they could, if Angie could go and get two sticks of dynamite, she'd stick them in her glove box, wouldn't she? You ain't saying, are you? Everybody's cigarette lighter would work. I don't think we even have a cigarette lighter in my car anymore. And when somebody pulled out in front of you, they'd say, that's fine with me. I'm pulling, grab that stick of dynamite, push that button, you pull up right beside him, you throw it out. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. No, listen to me. The reason why they don't sell dynamite in hardware stores and why I can't go get dynamite for the 4th of July anymore is because people were irresponsible with dynamite in times past, and you can't buy it anymore. Listen, go try to buy dynamite. Get on your computer and Google, how can I buy dynamite? If you do that, I promise you, this company called the FBI is coming to your house. Especially if you put in, how can I buy dynamite, Donald Trump? I mean, you're going to jail. You're going to jail. But look here, here's another one. Do you realize that I was born in 1970? May the 3rd, 1970. A glorious, glorious time to be born. And when I was born, before I got to be 10 years, listen, they had what these, and this was wonderful, called cherry bombs. Now we're getting to the, yeah, boy, I remember that. How many of y'all ever played with cherry bombs? Look at that. Y'all see that? I've heard a story about cherry bombs. I think somebody said it was like a quarter. A cherry bomb was a quarter of a stick of dynamite. Is that right? But you could go to the fireworks store and buy cherry bombs. Now, these things that you go to now, it says M80 or something, something. It's junk. I'm not going to tell you what you could do, but these cherry bombs, y'all and y'all's crazy youth, y'all used to stick them in mailboxes. It's not funny, Ricky. Y'all, listen, it's not funny. Bob, do you realize that these people are the reason why I never got to experience cherry bombs? I never got to experience the joys of playing with cherry bombs because y'all would stick them in mailboxes. And you'd shut the thing, and the mailbox would blow up. It's not funny. And explode off the 4x4 post. Gary, did you used to do that? This is what else they used to do. They thought this was funny as well. They would light cherry bombs, and they would throw them in the commode and put the lids down and blow the commode completely out of the floor. And the government steps in because the government likes to take care of people, right? And they says, we can't have cherry bombs anymore. So look, dynamite's gone, cherry bombs are gone. I mean, we nothing. Do you realize that when I was a child, this new, where's Steve? Did Steve leave? He did? Okay. Hey, Steve. Steve, do you realize, I'm talking with Steve because he's a drug dealer. Steve, they when Sudafed first came out on the market, you used to be able to go and buy Sudafed. And people wanted to because, guess what? It was one of those drugs that actually, it worked. It worked. And you didn't have, you know, all those long list of things. You better not, hey, listen, this is a good drug, but it could make your eyes cross and, you know, could make your left foot twitch and you might have this. I mean, Sudafed actually worked. But then these outside pharmaceutical salespeople, not Steve, Steve's a good pharmacist, but they started using this Sudafed to make this new drug called crystal meth. And now you can't, I mean, sir, can I, I'm going to buy some Sudafed because, I mean, my sinuses are all crazy. And I go, I need to get some Sudafed? Well, let me see your ID. Well, I'm a preacher. I don't care. I mean, look, you know, you give them your ID. You can't buy but like one little box with two tablets in it. They're afraid everybody's going to make crystal meth. They messed it up. They messed it up. Church people are notorious for not using things the way they were intended because they are not, they do not understand the magnitude or the power they're possessed. And prayer, I'm afraid, is one of those things that is abused. No more dynamite, Brother Frank, because y'all abused it. Y'all's daddies abused the dynamite. Y'all would throw it at people. No cherry bombs. Now, listen, my generation, in defense, my generation is guilty of losing something for y'all's generation. Okay? Really is. Y'all will never, ever experience the thrill and excitement of having a bottle rocket war. It's because of us. It's because of us. Listen, we used to have the Whistler bottle rockets. And listen, you'd like that dude, and you'd hold it. You'd hold it. And right before it was getting ready to shoot off, I mean, it was, you know, about like that, and it was, you could buy 1,000 of them for $2. I'm just kidding. But right as it was getting ready to go off, you'd hold that thing. You remember, Jason? And you could throw it. I could hit about three tries, I could hit Bobby from there. And it would whistle the whole way there. And after it got there, it would, poom! I ruined that for you, those bottle rocket wars, and I'm sorry. People got eyes put out and holes burned in them, and I ruined that. My generation did that. But listen, we did not understand the power that it possessed. Now let's look at today's scripture, understanding what I just said. Hezekiah this morning had a death sentence hanging over his head. Our scripture does not tell us that he had what he had done or that he had done anything wrong, only that he had become terminally ill, and Isaiah the prophet came and told him to get his affairs in order, for he was about to die. You will not recover. Now, let me tell you when we all hear those words, we know without any doubt prayer is coming. When you hear those words coming to you, as Hezekiah heard those words coming to here, you know prayer is coming. You're going to pray like you never have before. You're going to call people that you don't even like who say they're Christians, and you're going to ask them, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for my uncle? Can you pray for my dad? When you get that death sentence, you're going to ask everybody to pray. Prayer's coming. Now understand, we don't know if the prayer of this man was for self-glorification or not. But God was going to use this prayer to glorify himself. Do you understand that God, even today, is receiving glory for this very act because he did only what God can do by healing Hezekiah? God's still getting glory for it. Even now, God is still getting glory for healing Hezekiah. Now understand that as we read verses 12 through 21 of this same scripture, we can see no indication that Hezekiah lived to glorify God. But the very fact that he was alive gave God glory. He was dead. He was as good as dead. And God was getting glory for it. Church, do you realize that is why you are here today? You're alive.
Yeah, I know, but you just don't know what I'm going through.
Don't you want to look at some people sometimes, and I know you're not supposed to say this from the pulpit, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is that all right? You're praise God, you're alive today. Yeah, brother, but you just don't know what I've been through. Don't you just want to look at some people sometimes, Jason and Jason, just shut up. Just shh. And you want to do that to their lips. Shh. Just stop it. You today, in the fragile flesh, have a death sentence hanging over your head by God. And by God extending your days, just one more day, ought to give you a reason to glorify God in the highest of ways. Listen, we ought to wake up every morning and kiss the floor after we praise God for another day of life. Our hearts are still beating and our lungs are still full of air without us even thinking about telling them to do such things.
Oh, Brother Kyle, you just don't know how rough my life is.
Ricky, you just want to look at him and say, yeah, baby, I've watched you for the past 6 years. I've been your pastor. Come here. For 6 years, and I've seen you struggle. I've seen it. And I've had those same tears. But first of all, can I tell you something? Most of what you're going through is self-inflicted. You did it to yourself. And now you want to cry to God. Oh, Lord. You're alive. You are alive. Amen? How many of y'all woke up this morning and said, all right, heart, I just woke up. I want you to beat for 22 hours today. Anybody do that? No, your heart's doing that. Why? Because God told it to. How many of y'all woke up this morning like y'all seen these people who are encapsulated in the movies when they go to Mars and they have to stay asleep for 10 years and the capsule opens, and what do they do? They take that first breath. How many of y'all had to wake up and say, all right, lungs, you got to do your job now for the next 22, 23 hours. I want you to just, suck air into my lungs and blow it right out. Suck it in, blow it out. You don't have to do that. God does it for you. Amen? Listen, you are here for a reason. And that reason is to glorify God. And if you can't find in a 24-hour period a reason to glorify God, I just gave you two. Your heart's beating and your lungs are still sucking air. Give glory to God. Now understand what happens when you pray. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, we see that Isaiah is called to go back. He says, God says, go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of his ancestor, your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. Look, I will heal you. On the third day, now, you will go up to the Lord's temple. What just happened there? Did you see how fast that happened? Wake up. Listen, wake up. Did you see how fast that happened? I mean, it was like that. Did y'all see that? Did you see how powerful that was? Isaiah came in. He gave Hezekiah the death sentence. Listen, you need to get your affairs in order. You're going to die. Isaiah didn't even seem to be upset about it, didn't he? He just walked out. And as Isaiah was walking through the courtyard, God says, hold on a second. Something's happened, and I want you to go back. I thought prayer took forever. Isn't that how it works? I mean, it's like, how you write a letter in old snail mail, and you write your address and the address that you want it to go to, and you send it off, and you have to wait for a long period of time, right? Isn't that how prayer is? No, not at all. Church, we need to understand the power of our prayers. As I have told you before, when you call on the name of God in prayer, you are instantly heard by God. Instantly. Instantly heard by God. Church, God knew our prayer even before we prayed our prayer. God desires us to come to Him in prayer. He wants us to come to Him in prayer. Case in point. I told y'all years ago, when God gave me that message here, when my children were all gone off to college, I couldn't understand why. I mean, I was just suffering. She was suffering. Why? God says, I want you to miss me the way you miss your children. And I want you to understand that I miss you, my child, the way you miss your children. I want to hear from you the way you want to hear from your children. God wants us to pray. God wants us to communicate with Him the way we communicate with our family. You do realize that God is our Father. He's our Father. He's our Father. Why in the world do days go by and we don't talk to our Father? And it's not like it's hard. You know, years ago, when Amy and I first started dating, and I was at Lander College and she was at Winthrop College, I had a $300 phone bill every single month because, hey, I wanted to talk to my baby, right? And I didn't have $300. I almost had to steal a couple times. Oh, don't do that. I mean, it was bad. Why don't we want to communicate with God the same way? We should, amen? We really should. Now, verse 6 tells us that not only does God hear our prayers, God answers our prayers. Oh, Brother Kyle, you mean to tell me that every prayer you have ever prayed has been answered the very way you've asked? No. You mean every prayer that you have prayed, God has answered it the exact same way you have asked? No. But it's been answered. I said God has answered all of our prayers, and He does. In His time and in His will. Y'all hear me, church? Not our will, in His will. That is where we get confused and why we get upset with God, because He does not seem to answer as fast as we think He should, and very seldom does He give us what we want. Can I tell you from over 20 years of praying now that God does not answer my prayers the way I want, and when He does, this is usually answers to prayers better than what I've asked for. When He answers them, very seldom do I get them my way, but when He answers them the way He does them better than anything that I could ever ask for. Did you not see that in the life of Hezekiah what God did? Hezekiah said, listen, he didn't even ask, Lord, please heal me and let me live. He just said, please remember what I have done in my life for you. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you 15 more years. 15 more years. Now, if you study Kings and Chronicles, you'll see that Hezekiah really didn't do anything. As a matter of fact, he probably hurt himself in that 15 years. He should have just gone ahead on and said, look, you know, Lord, I know we're all going to die. I'll go ahead and die now. Because he didn't really do a whole lot more to give glory to God. He really put a nail in the coffin of the Hebrew children. But God extended and gave him something greater than he even asked for. Now, preacher, why are you telling me all about this prayer thing today? I already know all this. Because I've seen Christians give up on prayer because their prayers have not been answered the way they felt they should be. I'll ask them. They'll come to me and say, Brother Kyle, you know, can you pray for so-and-so? And I'll ask them. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean and hateful. I just ask them, Mr. White. I say, have you been praying? Well, I've given up on prayer. If you've given up on prayer, why are you asking me to pray for you? Do you think that my prayer is greater than your prayer? No. Hey, listen, I don't have a golden halo at the house. I don't. Ask Amy. She'll tell you. I don't. My prayers are no greater than your prayers just because I'm a preacher. Listen, in their eyes, their prayers are not answered at all. Church, God hears your cries and He sees your tears. Are your prayers the prayers that will glorify God? Are they in the will of God? That is the desire of the Lord, that you would ask in such a way that when He answers, the glory will belong to Him. Not us. He's not going to answer us just so we can say, yeah, hey, listen, I asked for a new this and a new that, and God answered my prayers. That's not giving God glory. That's not glorifying God at all. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life this morning, church? Is it giving glory to God? Because that's what God wants. Are you spending time with God? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to You this morning, we ask You to forgive us of our sin. Lord, help us in all that we do give glory to You. That's all I have to say this morning, God. Help us that we'll glorify You this morning in all that we do. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down here this morning and pray to God? This is your time. Come spend some time in prayer to God at the altar.